do number six right now, and then just for the public's information, what we're going to do is move item 15 up on the agenda to take place right after item number six. Okay, Mr. Harris, would you like to introduce item number six?
Well, I don't have much to say because I thought it was going to be a consent item. I think at this point I'll just turn it over to staff.
Hi, I'm Katie DeSimone, Water Resource Control Engineer here at the board. And what we have here in short version is a reissuance of NPDES permit for discharge for the Unicool facility. And you'll have to pardon me, I worked for Unical cases for a while. I keep saying Unicool. So there are some changes to the permit. They're listed in the staff report. There's some increased monitoring as part of the reasonable potential analysis that came out. So a few compounds were added. And with that, I'll keep my introduction short.
Okay. I do have one speaker for this. It's Mr. Chemick.
Can I ask my question?
First? Sure. Go ahead. Mr. Johnston.
Yeah, just a question, Ms. DeSimone. I note that the permitted flow is looks like 100,000 gallons a day. 100,000 gallons a day?
Correct.
And the maximum reported flow is 800,000 gallons a day in 2011. What's that about?
I will have to double check the figures to make sure they're right. I actually inherited this just recently, so if you give me just a little bit, I'll go through and double check that figure while Mr. Schimmick's talking.
You know, I wonder, should we do this item after staff's had a chance to maybe review the permit?
Why don't we could do that, but can we hear Mr. Schimmick's
question? Of course.
But
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a typo, but
right.
Nice to know.
Okay. Mr. Schimmick.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Steve Schimmick with the Otter Project in Monterey Coast Keeper. As I generally do, thank you for your service. I truly appreciate it. I hope you are all familiar with the CIWQS or CEQA's website, which is a violations website. If you actually run that website over the past 5 years looking for private business violations in Monterey County, you end up with a big handful, but not a ton, a big handful of businesses that have violations. You have a handful of violations or businesses that have double-digit number of violations. Unicool is fairly unique in having 9 in 2012 alone. That puts them in a class in and of themselves. They are discharging into the reclamation ditch, which I prefer to refer to as Gavilan Creek. That drainage is impaired for exactly some of the things that they are have been dinged for with violations on nitrates. And then I also noted the volume of water. This is not an insignificant, even at you know, 100,000 gallons a day, it's not an insignificant water for that watershed, for that drainage. As a generality, someone with this number of violations, it is my opinion, should not show up on the consent calendar. Just should not. Frankly, without being too coarse, you should drag their butt in here and ask them to explain why they have this number of violations. On the specifics, though, of Unicool, the MRP should be a little tougher on these guys, the monitoring and reporting plan. First of all, toxicity testing should be quarterly, not annually. Annually, it's too easy to avoid showing any toxicity at all. Quarterly, it'll be a little bit more difficult. Also, the nitrogen and nitrate testing, they do have some parameters that they have to report monthly, nitrate and nitrogen, they should be reporting monthly, not annually, as it shows now. They already are reporting some things monthly, so this will not be that great of a burden on them. And then finally, I think it would be really useful to know they have to do receiving water testing, and it would really be useful while they are doing this other monthly testing to also be doing nitrates and nitrogen on a monthly schedule in the receiving water. So just to summarize, as a generality, a permit such as this with this number of violations should not appear on the consent calendar. And on the specifics, I'm suggesting toxicity testing on a quarterly schedule, nitrate testing at both the outflow and in the receiving water on a monthly schedule. Those are my suggestions, and thank you. And I want to make a point that the staff report in this particular case, although there are a couple of question maybe typos, which is this flow issue, this is a good staff report.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Just one question to clarify. You're talking about monthly reporting for nitrates. The other item I note here that was changed is the toxicity monitoring from one time per permit term, which is once for 5-year period, to annually. Did you also mention toxicity or?
Yes, I think that toxicity should be quarterly.
Quarterly.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I make a few comments, please?
Sure.
We believe that 800,000 is a typo on the first page. My name is Harvey Packard. And we will address. If you want to take this up a little later, we can do that. I just want to point out that we sent a hearing notice out for this with a due date for comments that has long passed. We received no comments, and it's prejudicial to the discharger, who is not here, to take this up now with comments from Mr. Shimmick. So I think it's inappropriate that he comes and brings these comments at the last minute when there's a hearing period set up and the discharger is not here to respond. So I don't know if Jessica has an opinion on that, but I'm not sure we should take it up. So I just want to point that up.
What, you're not sure we should take it up, or what?
Well, I don't think we can make these changes without having the discharger here to participate in the hearing.
Well, I would agree with you about that. I think it's appropriate for any member of the public to want to come and comment.
Well,
I think this has to do with another item that I'm going to bring up tomorrow about schedules and timelines that we have. Putting the board packets together and the meetings together it's a lot of work. We try to do it using schedules that are publicly noticed so that everybody knows when things are due. And I think what Harvey is just stating is that there was an opportunity for comment, and we welcome any comment on it. We would just appreciate those comments in a timely manner, so we could have this would not have been on the consent, and we could have had it for discussion purposes. So at this point, if the board so chooses to pull it off a consent and reschedule it next month, it just adds to the burden of staff to have to redo this and then have the party come back in. But certainly, we welcome comments from the public. We would just appreciate those and. By the due dates.
Well, not just appreciate them. The hearing notice clearly states that the board will not accept late comments if they're prejudicial.
And this is Sheila Soderberg. Also to note that because we had a change in staffing, that this was originally scheduled for February, but then there were some issues in terms of posting the notice for that meeting. So this has actually been publicly noticed twice for this particular permit. As it's written, it hasn't. The only thing that has changed from the first time it was noticed was, of course, the meeting dates. Just for your information.
Well, I agree with what you just said, Mr. Harris. And I did take Harvey's comments that way. I was just suggesting that, you know, the public should know that they can always comment on something and not be foreclosed to do so at a meeting. But, Mr. Shimmick, it would be helpful. As you know, for staff. Okay, but it is very helpful to get comments in advance. So, I mean, if we do want to do something, I mean, can't do it here without the discharger. So, okay, what would the board like to do about this? Mr. Johnston.
I would like to hear from counsel on the question of that Mr. Packer just raised, what it means that I'm trying to understand the dichotomy between the public having a right to comment on the one hand and on the other hand us having a policy that says that after the notice period is closed that people cannot make prejudicial comments. And I'd like to understand. Those two seem in contradiction, and I'd like to be enlightened.
Well, the due date for written comments has passed. Public comments can still be made. If there are comments such as were made today that ask for changes and the board would like to make any of those changes, the item should be pulled and recalendered, especially if the discharger's not here to know those comments or defend themselves or respond to them at all. So on consent items, or really any item where there are proposed changes and the discharger is not available, those items should always be removed from the calendar and put on a new date.
I would suggest then that perhaps what would be appropriate would be for us to push this item back to either later in the day or tomorrow, give staff a chance to respond to the comments that were made in a little less extemporaneous fashion, see if they convince us that we should go ahead and approve the permit as written, and obviously if we're not going to, then it has to be pushed to another meeting.
Right. I was going to ask staff if they needed more time. If they do, we can do this later in the day. If they're ready, we can do it now. So leave it up to staff.
Yeah.
Later in the day.
Harvey?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll just table this item till later in the day. Then we can have a more robust discussion and then decide whether we want to vote today or put it off and invite the discharger. Okay. So.